the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in time, past, and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Dashchami, Dukhyampi, Satyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gashami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Saranam, Saranam, Gashami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Sabhanaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Niroda, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Niroda, Gamini Padipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By passionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to commit that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchecked conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day, oh, happy blessed place, oh, happy blessed time, oh, happy blessed path, oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from these sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here in suffering. Ending suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
So I've been looking at the gap that we talked about, and so what I understand or what I've been invited to explore is that something happens, there's a gap, and then there's a reaction. What my experience has been is something happens, there could be a gap.
In theory.
There could be a gap. Something happens, there could be a gap. I have my reaction. I catch it very quickly. Can recontextualize or reframe it, and then move back into joyful ease. That's been my experience. Does it? Does it get better?
So you had your something happened.
Right.
You have your reaction.
Right.
But you catch it really quickly.
It's getting faster, yes.
It's getting faster. It is getting then recontextualized.
Right.
And then that sort of changes
right.
what the norm, quote, karmic or normal reaction would have been.
Right.
And what you're looking at is what is, but you're told about the gap, and so
right.
that's what you're really going for seeing. And after you see that and it's recontextualized, you can move back into joyful ease.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What are you seeing that is making the difference of how you're able to catch it really quickly and then recontextualize?
Well, first of all, with the suggestion to recontextualize,
mm-hmm.
and then if I usually when things have happened, or my experience has been when things have happened, I haven't had the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
But I have kind of a, I don't know, still an access to the mentor. You know, I can still, until I have time to really get into it, I can still reframe it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the difference is.
Uh-huh.
I go to the mentor and can get, and can, now how else can we look at, you know, that's what I ask myself.
Uh-huh.
How else can I look at this?
Uh-huh, yeah. And so what you're doing is you have through the recorder and through just the suggestion and your intention, we might say.
Right.
The awareness to go to the mentor much
right.
quicker
right. Right.
than perhaps you used to. And in doing so, it sort of changes the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so as that, would you say the situation then becomes more spacious? There are more options, more possibilities there?
It is more spacious. It's more spacious, and it like cuts the circuit to the usual default.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're, it's like they're almost there, you know, but no, I go just a little bit, just a little turn.
That's exactly it, isn't it? That's exactly what we're doing. We're cutting the circuits. We call, you know, sometimes we joke about having the karma nippers out.
Oh, that's good.
You know? Yeah, isn't that great, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're cutting the circuits that would take us down to this usual well-worn rut.
Right.
And we're creating a new groove or a new way to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, and doing that, you know, who knows what we will find, what possibilities we'll find when we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the practice that we're doing. Is okay, no, not this way. I can turn to mm-hmm. the mental. I can turn to the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
I can come back to the breath. I can mm-hmm. go to joyful ease.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I want my attention to be. I know where I want to put it. So when I find it here in this karmic reaction, oh, no, I want joyful ease. I
mm-hmm.
choose joyful ease.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've actually seen it that it can be, usually not at the moment, a little later, it can be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So when I spilled all the all-purpose cleaner again yesterday for the second time and I cleaned the kitchen, this is a really clean area. And so, you know, I kind of could laugh at that a little bit.
Yeah. There it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's the spaciousness. Have humor, whereas before might be what?
Oh, we know where it was.
Yeah, all kinds of other condemnation or criticism or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't available before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is that the gap, or does it get sooner and sooner, or should I just experiment and see what happens?
What do you see?
Well, see, somebody, you know, you told me about the gap.
Yeah.
I want the gap.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so how would you describe that process right there that you just saw?
Oh, that's greed. You know, I wanted.
Uh-huh.
Now.
Uh-huh.
Those are old. Oh, I get my karmic circles. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It'll come, okay.
So there's conditioning kind of sneaking in the back door. Okay, I heard about this gap. I want it.
Right.
I want to own it. I want to possess it. I want to control it. I want it. Whatever. And what you saw then is that, oh, I can miss that.
Uh-huh.
And just explore and, you know, and again, it's that, who knows what other possibilities. You wouldn't have imagined that you could be laughing when you know.
Well, no, that was really a stretch.
What other stretches are possible
as you
nip more and more of those karmic patterns? And nip them more and more times, the same ones even, many times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lots of opportunities to practice here, I found.
That's a great place. That's a great thing about this place.
Yeah. You know, people have talked about that, but I never quite. I mean, I understood it intellectually, but it's different experientially for me.
And would you say a little bit about that?
Well, I've always heard about, not always. I've heard about going after the things that are karmically inclined, so that you can learn how to work with them. I was kind of. Yeah, but I'll stay over here where things are sweet. Thank you very much. But I can see that there's more things over here that are sweet the more I practice that.
Yeah. If this captures it, that before it was kind of like you said, intellectual understanding, but
mm-hmm.
there was this reluctance or maybe a fear, and wanted to stay over here where it's sweet. But now there's growing evidence.
Yes, growing evidence.
That is a sweet place.
Yes.
That which you were maybe was avoiding,
uh-huh.
when the human just goes for it, puts yourself in the situation, say for a month,
mm-hmm.
then the sweetness of that process is being able to be experienced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I talked a little bit on Tuesday night about being in a difficult place with the fact that I'm physically unable to do something that I've done for many years at a very skilled level. And I never named what it was, but I think we all know what it is. So, golf.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I talked about that I don't remember what I said exactly, but it's been a very emotional, difficult place. And and it's been like that for 4 or 5 years now. And I tend to, I don't know who's saying this, I don't know whose mouth this is coming out of, but I tend not to talk about things like that very much. And I just, it's wrong to feel like that. There's a little gate that I can't get through about it's insignificant. It doesn't, it's just ego. You know, that's the thing. It's just ego. And all of the other things that it will say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this loss of the physical ability to play golf has been happening for 4 or 5 years now. And the process hasn't been able to be talked about until now.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. It just stays in the ear and hurts.
Yes.
And and so there's been I hear, well, quit. You're hurting your body. Quit doing stuff like that. And then on the golf days, there are specific golf days, the golfer wakes up happy and enthusiastic about the play and gets out there on the golf course. The diminished skill level starts showing up. The voices kick in, the whole cycle starts, and it really is, there's no commitment. And there's that level on which there is just awareness of what's happening, and very little, very often, very little ability to not suffer. Just be blunt about it. The suffering is pretty, can get pretty intense. For me, and I project my playing partners, because I'm not about suffering in silence on the golf course. I keep all of that for the meditation hall. What is that about?
Well, it sounds like you're seeing, or maybe I'm projecting, but so because you mentioned that twice now about not being able to talk about it. And so is there a connection between the suffering can get pretty bad on the golf course and I'm not able to talk about it?
Well, I don't know exactly. I do know that talking about it first. The guidance was practice that enthusiasm that I wake up with on golf days other times, and so I have to. What practice is what you have. And so that was Thursday night. Friday I played golf and played better than I played in forever. And so I think there's something to this. Don't just keep it in. Don't let pseudoscience tell you that it's not worth talking about.
Yes.
That it's trivial and a privileged person's problem.
As if if it's that, then it's not worth talking about, and so it's not really a problem.
Yeah.
So the
real problem is, let's see, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't think I want to say out loud, but I just thought, you go ahead.
Okay. So the encouragement was to practice that enthusiasm in other areas, anywhere and everywhere. And what you saw is that there's something to that. So you have practiced that Thursday night when you got that guided. Friday, your golf game was actually even improved. And what you're seeing is that letting pseudo Zen comment on anything is undermining that whole process of enthusiasm and enjoyment, no matter where, but particularly creating the suffering on the golf course.
Yes.
And so that it is worth talking about because
it is worth talking about because it is what it is in this life.
Yes.
Because everything that shows up is for me.
Yeah. And it's for your liberation. It's not necessarily for a great golf game.
No.
It's for your liberation. And that's what you are seeing.
And there's a huge element of acceptance in golf. Golf takes a long time. It takes 4.5 hours to play around the golf. And there's lots of space between actual activity.
Mm-hmm.
And gratitude plays a huge role. Staying in the times between actually playing a golf shot.
Mm-hmm.
In the times between actually playing one golf shot and the next.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really important to turn the attention given the body, given the senses, being in gratitude, being in acceptance, being in awareness of what's really going on here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have long periods of time between even the actual shot and physical, you know, movement of it, where focusing the attention on gratitude, on what's actually here, on this here now, is the workshop, isn't it?
It is. It is because you can't just leave. I was going to say you can't just walk away. You can't just leave. You're there. Kind of committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes a situation, it becomes a venue for almost, no, I'm not going to say that, I was going to say almost like the monastery for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, but in the respect that I'm not going to suffer. If in this year I'll be at the end of the teacup and not engaging in the conversation, if I'm going to practice that, that's a really good place to practice it.
Yeah.
Because leaving it, the suffering is right there waiting for me.
Yeah. So here it is, you've got this 4.5 hour workshop. And you really can't leave. So in that way, it is saying, well, not that you can't leave the monastery, but it is like the monastery, and that you're committed to this workshop here. And so the just like we talked about around here, okay, I can either be happy about what's on the schedule, or I can be miserable about what's on the schedule. That's my choice. But it's not an option to not do what's on the schedule. So if you're there on the golf course, it's not an option really to just walk away when you're on, you know, the seventh hole or whatever. So there you are. In this year of emptying the teacup, getting out of the conversation, it's so clear, right? It's so clear that I can either suffer or I can be in with the what is here. And, you know, I don't know if you record and listen during those stretches of time, but
I tried, but it's hard.
It's, uh-huh.
I could try it again.
You could try it again?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where I want my attention. I'm so grateful for this. Look at this, you know. Yeah. And just as a way to help you direct that attention, a way to empty the teacup that's in those long gaps between holes or between shots. That thing I'm talking about it is a something that keeps coming up that would be an important thing.
And what along as I've been talking,
it's
too much time. Stop. It's over here.
Yeah.
Just trying to don't talk about this. It's silly. Nobody else wants to listen to this stuff. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So it's over here.
So I'm gonna talk for another 15 minutes.
I got it. I'll say, but say more. You know, actually, really, that is, you know, so you see that gets a little bit of attention, but your focus is here. You're choosing to put it out there. You're choosing to talk.
So I'm gonna talk a little bit more. I heard a professional golfer recently say, this was someone who was number one in the world for a while, recently said, it's no good on the final day of the tournament and your chance to win. It's no good to waste your energy thinking about trying not to think about what it will mean if you win. That will happen. It will come up. The attention forces will do that. He said, his exact words were, what you do is you redirect your attention.
Wow.
Said you come back to what's right here, right now.
Wow.
So, I was happy for him.
Yeah. Oh, and for that piece of teaching that just dropped in, because, so we might say, in light of what you've been saying, it does no good to resist the voices that are saying, well, your game isn't climbing, and you can't, and it isn't, and you can't do what you're used to. It's no use resisting that.
Right.
Just redirect your attention.
Right. And the one that gets triggered is the one who is so disappointed. And so the word hurt keeps coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, and embarrassed. It's embarrassing.
It's disappointed and embarrassed and hurt.
Yeah. And it's hard to tease out sometimes whether or how genuine that is. I strongly suspect it's become just a hook that karma, whatever, self-hate uses.
Have you done the two-handed recording exercise with that?
I have not. Uh-huh.
That might be a really illuminating process. And again, it gives a way for that to be expressed. It's like what the golfer was saying, isn't it? So it does no good to resist that. So in this case, it's like, okay, there's this angst, this disappointment, this embarrassment, this sadness. It does no good to not let that come up. It's going to come up. So redirect the attention. And one of the best ways we can redirect the attention is through that two-handed exercise. Let her talk. Let her have, no matter if it's conditioning, whatever, it doesn't matter. In the recording, you can say whatever. And then let the mentor respond. Okay. And let him report back. And talk often.
I'm going to just talk a little bit. Take this stick.
Should we all just follow along with the workshop? Thank you. Penny.
Looking at that,
Well, the rosary was, so you should take a shot, and then there's a gap. Uh-huh. And so the next shot. Uh-huh. And then what arose was, it's all a gap. You know, between now and the time I die is a gap. And so at any given moment, what I do in the gap conditions what the gap is experienced as.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me reflect that. So what we do in the gap is what it determines what the gap is experienced as, which
yeah.
is like our life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, it's so like conditioning to say, okay, there's the gap. It looks like this. It's this long. It's half thin.
And you'll feel this way, and then
yeah. And it's just so helpful to see it's all a gap. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's time.
Yeah.
And it's how we live in that time. Yeah. And it's possible to get from here to the time I die and have no awareness that whole time. That's
yeah.
one possibility.
Yeah.
And I don't think I want that possibility. But I mean, I just got it. The gap is really whatever is there available to us
yeah.
in any moment.
Yeah, the gap is whatever is available to us at any moment, and what determines and we get to choose. It's amazing, isn't it? We get to choose through the direction of our attention what comprises that gap.
Yeah, yeah. And so it relates a bit to what I've been looking at this morning on some calls. So the Musings article and the Socratic email class and the practice intensive all sort of came together. And what I was seeing was how it opens up space to be in I don't know. Because we're so conditioned, this I is so conditioned to go instantly to conditioning mm-hmm. for answers. So I was reading some of the Socratic email class last night and but I realized Sherry was saying, as far as I can tell to everyone, including me, was, so we present our issue. Mm-hmm. And then she asked a question. And then she says, conditioning will give you an answer to this question,
mm-hmm.
or several answers, and they'll be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to, I mean, the way, like, that's the instruction for the gap. What conditioning wants to do is fill the gap with all the reasonable answers it already knows,
yeah.
and all the noodling it wants to do. And if we don't go there, there actually is a gap.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So what we are always encouraged to do is to not know, because conditioning fills the gap with everything it knows. So if we can manage to have our attention on not knowing, then that is what allows the gap, spaciousness, to be there.
And it's so automatic. I mean, I really get how just automatic we've been, how deeply trained I am to figure it out,
yeah,
to come up with answers, and in society that's considered that makes one a reasonable person.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So the conditioning is so automatic to go to no, have the answers. I know, and that's really rewarded. It's reasonable in society.
Yeah.
But what you want is not that.
Yeah, what I'm being pointed, what I really am getting is how I do that.
Mm-hmm.
What feels like Sherry's pointing to is we do that so automatically that we don't even know we're doing it.
Yeah.
So the question arises and the answer arises, and we don't get that the answer comes from the conditioned system.
So you're getting that though, so that because you're articulating it. And so how are you seeing? So. If Sherry is saying, we see that conditioning automatically arises, what are you saying about the process of going with the I don't know?
Well, I see that it creates space. I mean, I had this image this morning of, you know, in the cartoons, you know, when someone is fuming,
uh-huh.
and they have a, you know, the little balloon above their head, and it's full of exclamation points.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like when I go to conditioning, that's what
That's what it's like. You walk around in a cloud, like the balloon's all around my head.
Yeah.
And it's full of all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's full.
Yeah.
And and it's so familiar that I don't even realize it's full.
Yeah.
And so it feels like the invitation is to have an empty balloon. You know?
Yeah.
That doesn't even have a border.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, there are times, I think on Thursday night I talked about occasions where things happen suddenly and there is no conditioned response at the ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience is not of congestion.
Right.
But, and so I guess that's, I mean, I think last night I just felt like reading that a few pages of the email class, I felt like I was seeing more deeply than I had ever seen how often what I think is life dropping in is conditioning filling the gap.
Yeah.
And just to pay attention to that, just to notice that.
Yeah.
And that word congestion, I mean, the sort of elaboration, the congestion, the going on is the clue that it's a conditioned thing. Because my experience when life drops in is it's succinct and sort of short and clean. And there's a lot of space.
Like that, that's big. So it feels like a big clue is the congestion, because when conditioning is filling in that gap, there's a lot of it. It's very verbose. It's got a lot of answers, got a lot of everything, a lot of ideas, a lot of suggestions. And life is very succinct. And so what you can practice is dropping the congestion. And as you described in your experience on Thursday, that when there's situations where it's unfamiliar, where you're surprised and conditioning sort of can't get its, you know, bubble filled into a new time, then there is a spaciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, you recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
So that when in those times when it feels like life is dropping something in, but you kind of, you're seeing now that it's probably conditioning, you can sort of calibrate to that image of, is this bubble full of words or is it empty?
Yeah, I think for me, actually, a good image is going from golf shop to golf shop. The reason the golf was always hard for me was because there was so much time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was fine at tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that happened fast,
mm-hmm.
and I could simply react. The golf was a torture. But, you know, it would be my experience that I would muff a shot, and then between that and the next shot, all that was going on was about muffing the shot.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see the birds. I didn't hear the birds. I didn't see the grab. I didn't.
Yeah.
So that's when you know for sure you're in conditioning and there is no gap.
Yeah.
But to just drop it, you know, experience what you experience literally from here to there and then hit it again.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
Exactly.
I think that's going to be a helpful image for me.
Yeah. So being in the gap and being with whatever gap is in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
This is such a fun conversation. And I've been looking. It's funny, I've kind of been looking at a little bit of golf too. And it's just convenient content to talk about this cool process that I'm seeing around learning to love learning. I love how the these kind of year long themes, they're kind of cumulative.
Yeah.
It's not like that was a good one. They're all still right here with me.
And we got up in our game, and we're still using those sports analogies.
I mean, it's great. Gosh, I love that process because they've all been so helpful. And I really do love that learning to love learning experience. What's the process of learning like?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's all about emptying the teacup.
Mm-hmm.
Like emptying all the ideas about how it's supposed to go, how quick I'm supposed to learn it, my capabilities and all that kind of stuff, just emptying that and to just kind of be present.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fun working with something like, I've recently kind of taken up golf and a number of other kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really fun to work with because I don't have a whole lot going about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just mm-hmm. like something fun to take up, to
learn,
to just to be in the process of learning.
Yeah.
It's been wild to see what comes up. You know, there's the conditioned process of just totally believing that I think of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, golf, as far as I can tell, I don't really, it's a long learning curve kind of thing. I'm not getting good at it quickly. And so, you know, I was noticing when I was first kind of starting, there was just this totally entrenched belief that I suck at this, that I'm not a golfer. And the people who are good at it, they're like, come out of the womb, like, you know, just some genetic predisposition, you know, just never get it.
Yeah.
And going out with other people that are good, and like, oh my gosh, they're amazing. And there's this whole thing about who they are and who I am, almost like as a person, this identity as someone that sucks.
Yeah.
Or just can't quite get it together. It seemed like, oh my gosh, whoa, that's everywhere. That process of, I'm someone who can't quite get it, and somehow other people can, and there's just this fundamental difference between us, that they're the people that can do it right, and I suck, you know, and I'm going to try, but kind of the trying is also part of the process of sucking, you know, because in that kind of process of trying, I'm never going to connect, and wow, so it's just powerful seeing that, you know, it's across the board, it's like, I suck at relationships. I suck at managing money. I suck at all this stuff. Other people are out there. They have it all together.
Uh-huh.
And it just seemed like the opportunity to empty the teacup.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I can so see why you linked it with learning to love learning and those two, because they're actually the same process, aren't they? As you said, when you're taking up these new things that really don't have a lot of charge to them, you can see, oh my God, the exact same process that ego does around relationships, let's say, is being done now about golf or about money or about anything, because it's how it fills up the teacup. You suck at this, you're not genetically disposed to this particular game or this particular skill or this particular content in life. And so there's a you and there's a them, those people who are. And what a handy way for an identity to get to be formed and then cemented in place, because, you know, so there's this identity, a person who sucks at golf. Whereas, you know, in the learning to love learning process is, okay, I see that coming empty. Okay, I see that judgment empty. I can see that belief empty.
Yeah,
you know, and you can just watch it all being created.
Yes. Gosh. Oh, I love practice so much. It's so awesome. Because then what's available is this radical change of behavior that opens the door wide open, which is that falling in love with practice and the spirit of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to practice the restraint and religious observance. I'm not going to listen to the voice that's telling me that I suck at this for a moment. I'm going to kind of suspend belief in that. And I'm going to just make the commitment to show up and do the practice.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. I've had a golf course that's been across the street from where I've lived, and I've just had a commitment to go several times a week. Just to practice. And when I go practice, I pop in the earbuds and I'm listening to a practice conversation the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And the voices are coming up with their stories about, you stink at this, you'll never get good. And it's just the whole time, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Just emptying the teacup, whatever. I'm not listening to that. And opening the space to allow my practice to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have the opportunity to, like that suspension of disbelief, that, like, I'm not going to believe the story that I'm a person that sucks at this for just this moment.
Yeah.
And whack! It's like, the beauty of it is emptying the teacup and not being in that story.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's so true, isn't it? So there is, I mean, because what you're laying out for us is putting all the practice tools to work for you, for your life, and using the content of the golf, you know, the golf game. And here it is, right there in your own yard, but, you know, basically. So you're going in there, you're putting in the earbuds, you're practicing with the theme, you're listening to practice conversations, you're noticing the voices and dropping and not believing them, all these practice possibilities going on, or practice opportunities going on. And what you're noticing is you can hit the ball, and instead of it being about oh, that sucks, or you're not going to be a golfer, or whatever. It can just be what it is, because your intention is not on, is not believing all of the story.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like what that golf pro said, you know, about, like, I don't need to resist the fact that there's going to be a story about I suck at golf.
Exactly.
Or whatever I'm doing, if I'm, you know, whatever, or that I suck at relationship, or whatever. Yeah, that story's going to be there.
Yeah.
More than likely, it's going to be there.
And
especially if I'm going right at it, mm-hmm. and going with that willingness and a willingness to practice, it'll probably turn up the volume even.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, it's like, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to fight that.
Yeah.
It can be there. And in this moment, right here.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And I'm going to open that little gap, that little space of possibility, that in this moment, as I redirect attention and just get here, something different could happen.
Yeah.
And that I don't have to be that identity that sucks at this thing.
Yeah.
It could just be possibility.
Boy, that's the key, isn't it? It's really, the key is redirecting the attention. Mm-hmm. Because if the attention is on, is resisting the voices, then it's on the voices.
Totally. Oh.
And so in by just redirecting the attention to what's right here in front of me, with the help of our tools, right? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it's just, you know, the pull is just there. So we kind of just supported ourselves with all the tools. That's when the gap can be there.
Yeah.
So that the human, the person, gets to really be right here in this moment with this golf shot.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's such a, it's such a edgy, fun, moment-to-moment kind of thing.
Because
there's just that constant pull into the conversation about the identity as somebody that sucks at this and all that.
Uh-huh.
And it's a constant right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
And boy, falling in love with practice, that's just such the best. I mean, it's just the best. Just doing it for the practice. Because the moment it becomes about getting good at golf or getting bad at golf, or I can't even do this or I can't do that, then we're back in the conversation.
Oh, yeah. So. For sure. I'll never forget this. It was one time I kind of figured that out. I was like, I'm going to experiment with this. I went on a date, and dating was just a nightmare before practice. And it's still an incredible practice opportunity. But left alone with voices, I mean, but I remember going on a date, and I remember kind of giving myself that latitude. It's like, this is not about things going a particular way. This is not about finding the one, or like even impressing someone, or having a really great night. This is about changing the internal process.
Yep.
This is about redirecting the focus of the attention. And I remember, like, that was my whole goal. And all that long, all I'm going to do is anytime I hear a voice say something nasty about how I suck at relationships and how all that kind of stuff, I'm going to redirect the focus of the attention to love, well-being, peace, whatever is going on in the moment, uh-huh. wherever we're at.
Uh-huh.
I had the most amazing night of my life.
Yeah.
How could you know? Incredible. Yeah. And it was like, I was like, this is it.
Oh my God, this works.
Yeah, but it is completely, I just have this image of, you know, do parachuting a lot for work, and then parachuting where there's this place where to get a random parachute that really wants to fly forward to land in a tight, accurate location, you have to kind of get it into a stall.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't land in a stall because you'll come down too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this kind of, the phrase to describe that is riding the ball. You're actually, it's like almost balancing on a ball. It's just this constant readjustment of like how deep the brakes are to kind of make it just fly just perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And that image of balancing on a ball, it's just like this. Mm-hmm. It's like that moment to moment, you know, and that experience of just riding that ball.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's so, I mean, it's edgy the word that comes up, but it's really quite fun,
uh-huh.
too.
Uh-huh. You know,
like very present, like, ooh,
exciting. Yes, it is, isn't it? Because, you know, your attention, you just can't wait for your attention for a moment.
Yeah.
You've got to ride. It is edgy, and in some cases, even your life is determined by it, right? Like, life is...
It's obvious.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's obvious when you're under a parachute.
Exactly. But getting it that's really, it's life and death in every moment.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Scott.
reminded again that we're all doing this together.
Yeah.
Whether we're aware of that or not.
Yeah.
But to be aware of it, it just brings so much energy. Gosh, there's so many things, so many little images and things that have come up. But just that life-changing thing of awareness practice of the shift from content in our lives to something we've got to manage or control or fix or make better, and then the shift to, you said earlier, it's all for our liberation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a completely different life. And it's fun because even though I know that shift, I'm still doing the fixing and the changing.
Yeah.
And so I get to keep having that movement and go, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and I fall back in and the movement, wow. So it's kind of, even that's not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, dedication isn't a problem.
Yeah. So let me see if I'm going to. So then the getting in with the content, basically, just sort of kind of fixing and changing and thinking it's really about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then remembering, oh no, it's really about my liberation. It's about waking up. About being here, and then getting pulled back into that, okay, and then we'll get back into the working and trying to fix, it isn't even a problem.
Yeah.
It's that process that we're doing that is, it is practice.
Yeah. So a physical thing of a toe injury that I got when I first got here, and then it's going on for a long time, and but now it's kind of come to this place where it's like, hey, you can't ignore it anymore.
No.
And I watched that thing where it's like, okay, and I went to see a doctor about it. Okay, so what do we need to fix this? So I can go back to how I was living, how I wanted my life.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is just sort of an interruption.
Exactly.
That I need to get past, so that I can go back to live my life.
Yeah. And it's fun to hear a thing for our liberation as a gift, because basically what's happened is, at this point, it looks like it's something that you can't reverse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a tendon damage and there's scar tissue, and there's no way to undo that. And the knuckle on my toes just doesn't work. So I can feel a little emotion arise just saying that,
because
there's just like not wanting to quite accept that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I've been looking at what's going on in the year and a half, which has been kind of keeping this over to the side, you know, which is a process I've seen a lot in my life. It's not really a big deal. I mean, I can do pretty much what I want to do. There's emotion around it and resentment and just keep it over here. So I can relate to that and not talking about things. Or I like to talk, but find myself talking about things that aren't the things I need to be talking about. And so lately what's kind of, so there has been more acceptance actually after getting that news, even though in a way I kind of already knew that, you know, from my experience. You know, 2 years and a half, it doesn't return back to normal functioning. It's probably something that is how it is. So the shift was that, which is like, wow, okay, so this is here, and I bet you like my whole life, everything about how I do things is right here in this workshop. So what if we just and we live in this place that supports awareness practice? Because you know, I don't know, this kind of attitude out there. If you ask people about your injury, then they want to give you advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's not what we're. That's just more fixing.
Mm-hmm.
And to learn to, as I've been hearing a lot in practice, the being with. You know, the compassion, and then just seeing what is life offering me through this physical piece. It's just, I'm already experiencing a rise of energy and excitement, and
So what as you look at it all, everything that happened, the news and the process that you've seen around it, and the emotion, and the not talking, and all of that. What does it feel like this inviting you to be there?
That's a great question. Well, one is to end the relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning. Okay, because that is such suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have a content to not really be transparent about it. there's the physical thing, and that's whatever it is, but that's not the suffering.
So is the suffering in the not being transparent about it, or the hiding it, letting the conversation or whatever go on?
Yeah, or just or denying it. Adjusting things so that it's not a thing. But so basically,
coping. Mm-hmm. And coping is sort of, it sounds like the way you're describing it, synonymous with denial, avoidance, mm-hmm. hiding, maybe even toughing it out.
So, and this is just a real concrete way to see how, all of that coping is being the survival system,
which is the relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning that you're being invited to let go.
And so we do a lot of walking here. I'm averaging between 15 and 20,000 steps a day, and it's like, folks, there's no getting around. It's not like hop on my bike and then run my bike.
Go get a desk job.
So, I mean, it is step by step. So the gift is that it acted up again to a point of like it reached some sort of threshold.
It's not going away. It will not be ignored.
It will not be ignored. Yeah. And that's what's so kind about life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it offers these things, and I'll say, hey, here's this door. And it says, okay, well, turns out the ante a little bit on you.
Yeah. We get hit with the sideboard we need.
Exactly. And then, I guess, I don't know if this is true, I just want to put it out there. So then, I just wondered if this was another sort of filling up the teacup, which is there is some authentic excitement about, wow, I can bring this into life. I can practice with this. I mean, I don't know, there's all these beliefs and assumptions. There's the fascination of how the foot works. I mean, there's just all kinds of, emotional charge. There's all kinds of things to work with. And I almost wondered if there's a little bit of filling the teacup of, yeah, this is great.
I can work with this. We can do this, and then we can do that, and then we can,
I asked me a little bit ago around, well, what about the guy who's just dealing with some discomfort every day? What's going on with him? And that kind of, there's that getting out of the being with again.
It goes back to what you said earlier, too, about you talk about things that not the things that need to be talked about. So it's like, okay, I can talk about all this excitement and this practice opportunities and blah, 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 blah. But what about the guy that's just
That happens a lot too in like sharing a group and things like that. It's like a rare room of guidance. How could you just not be lit up? Look at everything you've been given, kind of thing. And I know that conversation, but it still must be getting me because, being resentful about something or upset with somebody else or, those kinds that are not grateful. Those are unacceptable things to talk about in practice, which is crazy because those are all the things keeping us out of liberation. Those are exactly the things we want to bring to practice.
Well, it sounds like ego has kind of mushed things together that don't have anything to do with it. Like you can't feel upset or in pain or frustrated or anything. Like that has anything to do with gratitude? Like that doesn't mean I'm not grateful. I can be grateful and feel all these things and really let them come up. And not if they get all mushed together.
Oh, yeah, it's just so good. Can she say what?
No.
You're either grateful or you're ungrateful. Which one are you? It's like, oh, yeah, that's his world. Well, see, the workshop is right here. It's funny because it's like, okay, we're going to do a 30-day retreat, but it's like the workshop is just paying attention moment by moment. And maybe we set up these little things to bump into.
Or they're set up.
Yeah, that's really good. It dropped in that I do this physical exercise that's a combination of dance, weights, and yoga, and it's just 10 minutes. It's like a little. And life totally dropped that in, and I'm just loving it more than anything I've decided to do exercise-wise.
Yeah.
So it's like, life's just going to drop in. I mean, it is right now, I suppose.
Yep.
How I'm gonna, how this will be to work with.
Yeah.
I don't have to figure it out. I'm just going to make the structure of it.
Yeah, because the I that's going to figure it out and make the structure is not who you want to follow.
No, it's not. in liberation.
Yeah.
For the
or the healing of the Freud.
Or the healing of the Freud. It's just about for itself.
Yeah.
When I brought that up, I just had that reflection.
Yeah.
I want to just look at some things around ending the relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It feels like a time of like seeing all of these places where I've been making a pact with the devil, as I've heard Sherry put it, you know,
making a pact with the devil.
A sense of like that awareness of not talking about certain things because there's a fear that something I want will be taken away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So an identification with I want or I don't want, and that attempt to control, and like that kind of like choosing the relationship.
Yeah. So the relationship, the story, mm-hmm. the karmic story is you can't put something out there because then you'll lose yourself. You know, they'll take away something. You'll lose something that you want.
Yeah.
And there's been a belief. There's sort of been a following of that, and that's been making the deal with the devil. And so what you're doing is I want to put something out there.
Yeah. And of course, like from the disidentified place, there's a seeing that fear that something's going to be taken away is ego's fear that it's going to be taken away, that the calm is going to be taken away, right? But there's been an identification with protecting, defending, like that.
Right.
And so that got seen. There was just some clarity. And there was just then this almighty, you know, you should kill yourself, you should quit, you should all of that, you know, bombardment. And what I got to see was, wow, you know, there's that there's the progression in the key of I can't, and then we see under that there's an I won't, mm-hmm. and under that there's I'm choosing not to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
That it felt like there was a seeing under the level of I can't to I won't to I'm choosing not to.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like the system reacted to try and make it real again that it's I can't, right? So it was like creating this state of overwhelm, despair, it's more powerful than I am, I can't, right?
Yes.
And just that opportunity to practice not believing any of it,
yeah.
and to stay with that clarity of, choosing.
Yes.
And now I'm not choosing, but
right.
that's what got.
Well, I'm choosing here.
Choosing
I'm
here.
I'm choosing life. I'm solidly on life's team, not on conditioning's team.
Yes.
And so what you got to see is the huge, massive
mm-hmm.
Reaction of
mm-hmm.
conditioned mind
mm-hmm.
to that choice, to
yeah.
that stance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of holding the ground feeling. And just yesterday while I was eating lunch, I saw, wow, because there'd been that identification with this is hard, this
mm-hmm.
is rugged, there's this torture, you know, screaming at me that I should kill myself and quit and all of that. And there was just that disidentification from that part of it too, that wow, that's the system trying to make it real that I can't when I've just seen that I've been choosing it,
yeah.
right?
Uh-huh.
And I was just sitting there and it was raining and the rain was like dripping into the rain bottle
uh-huh.
and like splashing back out again because it was really full and there were these amazing patterns of where it was, you know, the rain was and then it was splashing out and
uh-huh.
and there was just such being with that. And I saw that torture can't make me kill myself.
Yeah.
It's only words in the head.
Yeah.
And I got to that feeling of it's got nothing,
yeah.
you know. And there was just that, like, wow, at watching the rain and that experience of a bit of the gap, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful to see, to get that. here I get to be in the human body watching this beautiful raindrop and all of the patterns of and getting it, awareness. So there's the attention, the beauty and the way, the appreciation.
Yep.
And awareness just registering that conditioned system has got nothing. And just being with that experience, it can't touch you. It has no finger down, no it has no body, it has nothing. It's just words in a bubble. It's like the, it's just all made up. It can't make me do anything. It can't make me think anything. It can't take away this beautiful sight in front of me. It can't do anything.
Yeah.
And awareness, registering all of that in that beautiful moment.
Yeah. And really that feeling of like moving the canoe, right, to paddle with the current. That kind of fighting feeling.
Let me see if you would describe it this way. As the human in that moment of realization that it's got nothing, fully identified with awareness, realizing thou art that.
Yeah. And like the authentic human getting to do practice.
Yes. Authenticity in this human form getting to do practice.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all.